your word be remain permanent in our lives and bring forth fruits, O Lord, fruits that will abide in your kingdom, O Lord, till eternity, in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
And I'm honored to hand over to our brother Wally, who will be taking this session tonight. So over to you, brother Wally.
Thank you, brother Peter. Good evening, everybody. I'd like us to start off with a video that I think captures what may be the mood of most of us tonight and what should be the mood of America at this point. Let me share this song by Kaman. Let me be sure we're sharing the sound as well. Yeah.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay. Names synonymous with the spirit of our country, founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead, you need God in America again. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future and our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, you can't have national morality apart from religious principle, and it's true. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to these war zones we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. In the 90s, rape and murder are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is put God in America again. The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again. Abe Lincoln said, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the Word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, while pornography floods our streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vex us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is gonna fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. I'm
believe it's time America to stand up and proclaim that one nation under God is our demand. And send this evil lifestyle back to Satan where it came from. And let the word of God revive our dying land. For Jesus Christ is coming back again in all his glory, and every eye shall see him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God's power is coming on us to boldly tell the world you must be saved. Because astrology won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers, because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms and start handing out the word of God in schools. The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is him.
I think the same is true for all of the nations. I've been in our church, we pray a lot for the nations that we come from. It's true for Nigeria. It's true for Guyana. It's true for Trinidad and Tobago. Brothers and sisters, we are in a crisis. Brother Sanyeo Jikutu, are you on the call? Can't just mute, and New Covenant Church people will recognize what I'm about to show on the screen. Brother Sanyeo, are you on this call? Just briefly.
Yes, I am.
Do you recognize this? Am I holding it upside down?
Yes. I
New
think
Covenant
it's
Church, do you recognize
like
it's blood, right?
Yes.
probably
Silence
a
in the land.
decade or 2 decades ago.
2 decades ago, you designed this.
Oh.
We published a magazine in New Covenant Church, and we sent it to about 350 ministers across America. That was in 2002. We titled it The Silencing of the Lamb. Was only one issue. It was too expensive for us to keep producing, so we stopped. May the Lord be pleased to speak. May the Lord Jesus utter his voice to us again. We're in a very desperate situation. Only those who are in tune with God's feelings for this time, know how desperate our situation is. All over the world, globally, there's a crisis. Tonight, it's a Bible study. So I want to speak on something. I want all of us to discuss as a matter of fact, because I really don't want to preach. I want us to study. So I'm going to take some select passages.
Pages.
And then by the Spirit of God, we'll discern what the Spirit is saying to the church. Will someone kindly open to Jeremiah chapter 6 and read from verse 16 and 17 to start us off?
Jeremiah chapter 6 from verse 16. I'm reading New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and
Sorry,
walk.
brother Sunday, please, sorry that I interrupt you. I just want us to reflect on what brother Sunday just read for a moment. Don't unmute, brother Sunday, you continue. What is that word of prophecy saying to us? Please read it again, the first two sentences.
This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it.
Nobody likes old things. But this passage says the crossroads that we are in spiritually now, stop. Look around you and say, are the things that we are doing, are they working? I was going to say the Bible says there. Remember, it wasn't the Bible. It was actually a philosopher that said, only a crazy person does the same thing over and over again and expects what?
Results.
Please, I want you to participate. Brother Lodja begged us to please be on camera. Please now, brothers and sisters, if you can, let's do a study. If you don't get on camera, I'm just going to preach. If you get on camera, then we'll be interactive. This passage, Brother Sunday, what does it say? Please.
This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around.
Thank you.
Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that is not the road we want. I posted watchmen over you who
Okay.
said,
That's okay for now, but I want us to take it in nuggets. Stop. Ask for the old path. Walk in it. How many of us like old things? In fact, the Lord Jesus has something to say about old things. But Sunday, hold that passage. I'd like another person to go to the book of Luke, chapter 5, and read from verse 39. Let's see what the Lord said about old things. Anybody that finds it, it's a study.
Luke 5:39.
Yes.
And no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says the old is good.
Old wine is good. Jeremiah, thus said the Lord, at this crossroads, everybody stop. Here's what I want everybody to do, says the Lord. Ask for how Abraham worshipped me. Ask for how the old people worship me. Find the old path again. That is how we're going to find rest for our souls. Brothers and sisters, we're in more trouble than the tone and the tenor of the church today suggests. We're almost in the times that Christ predicted, when everybody does their own thing. And then the end will come suddenly like a thief in the night. Continue to read, Brother Sunday.
Read verse 17. I posted watchmen over you who said, listening for the sound of the alarm, but you reply, no, we won't pay attention.
Oh, thank you. We want to discuss everything but the sound of the alarm. We want to discuss the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of sanctification. We want to discuss everything. But it says, stop, listen to the sound of the alarm. Go and search for the old ways. But you said no. Your translation says alarm. Brother Sunday, other translation says trumpet. Brothers and sisters, I want to challenge us tonight to take a pause and look at the old path. Ezekiel 33 is where we're going to take our main theme and reading tonight, talking about the trumpet. Someone should please open to Ezekiel chapter 33. We'll start reading from verse 1, real quick.
Ezekiel 33, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to the Son of Man. Speak to the people and say to them, when I bring the sword against a land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman. Sorry?
Please continue. I think someone is on. Is that Sister Success? Someone is. You need to mute. Please go on mute. Go ahead.
Okay. When I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people. Verse 4, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not heed the warning and the sword comes against their life, their blood will be on their own head. Verse 5, since they heard the sound of the trumpet but did not heed the warning, their blood will be on their own head. If they had heeded the warning, they would have saved themselves. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, that person's life will be taken because of their sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. Verse 7, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die. And you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways. That wicked person will die for their sin. And I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. Verse 10, Son of man, say to the Israelites, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live.
Thank you.
Turn.
Oh, turn from thy ways. When this first day of this third day of this study, I want us saints to just get the sense of the crisis that we're in. I'd like to ask a few questions. What is the reputation of the church and of the Christian in our days? Does it keep us awake? What do your co-workers say about the lifestyle of the modern Christian? What is Jesus saying? Is Jesus pleased with what is going on? If the Son of Man were to come today, will he be proud that we are towing the ancient path, the faith of our fathers, that we are going that way? Someone should please turn to the book of Amos chapter 5 and read from verse 5, sorry, from verse 21 and 22. Actually, I'll read that real quick. I have it open here. Here's what the Lord says there. I want us to follow this, please. This is the word of the Lord. The whole counsel, the whole Bible says, I hate, I despise your feast days. Easter, Christmas, Father's Day, Pastor's Appreciation Day. I do not savor your sacred assemblies anymore. Sunday service, fellowship, all of that. In their case, it was Passover, the Feast of the Tabernacle, all of that. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will not regard your fattened peace offerings, says the Lord. Take away from me the noise of your songs, because I will not hear the melody of your string instruments. 24. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. As we speak today, brethren, in many parts of the globe, our brothers and sisters are being treated as sheep to the slaughter. People are making the ultimate sacrifice for Jesus Christ. I watched a video recently where, well, I'm from Nigeria, for those who are not from Nigeria. There was a Christian brother who stood up and appealed to the entire church to be sensitive to the suffering of the saints. Widows, orphans, God's children suffering. Injustice, racism. I want to ask a very simple question. Look around, brethren. Look at the ancient path. And I'd like someone to just unmute. I just want to ask a very simple question. Is Jesus happy today? Consider what you focus on as a believer and the state of our world as Christians. And we are the watchmen that Ezekiel talked about. All of us. Are we happy to see people perishing around us? Why we? What did Amos, how did he put it here? He said, continued with our sacred assemblies, our offerings, there are all kinds of offerings.
Is that wrong? The prophetic traps, the force
of... Brother Cho, can you go meet?
And that's where the help is for Haiti defensively, picking it off. And then
Brother Cho, can you go meet?
Brother Wale, please make me a co-host so I can monitor the room.
So they can exploit.
Most anyway, while the music plays, the lamb cries. And he's silenced. We're going to have plenty of time for questions. My purpose tonight is just to ask these simple questions. Just look at the general field today. How many people are perishing? Is Jesus happy? I want to hear some people's opinion about that. Please feel free. When we look at what Jesus wants and the state today, for those of us who are slightly older, look at where we were 30 years ago and where we are today as representatives of Jesus. Is Jesus happy? I'm inviting comments. I know and I pray that the Lord will speak through some people here with other scriptures. I want us to talk. Tomorrow we can preach. If you people don't answer me, we just keep looking at one another.
Can you please repeat the question, Brother Wally?
When you look at the state of Christianity today, your own state, can we truly say that we've done the Lord Jesus proud? Is he happy?
No.
No, he's not. And the Lord has told us about these times. I hate, I despise your feast days. I do not savor your sacred assemblies anymore. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your string instruments. We think at times that every praise and worship, where the name of the Lord is mentioned, he's there. But here are the thoughts of the Lord. Let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. The Lord Jesus is coming soon. Today's message is really for us Christians. We are pilgrims and we're strangers in this world. Let me read some of our heroes, some of their, how they describe their own times as well. This is D.L. Moody, 1837 to 1899. Said the church is full of people who want to be saved, but they don't want to follow Jesus. They want the crown, but not the cross. We are building massive churches with padded pews, but we are losing the power to convert the streets. Timothy Dwight is president of Yale, 1817. Religion is being laughed out of countenance, and the Bible is being treated as a fable. We need God in America again. And we are the watchmen. I'd like to challenge us to look at the old parts. The more the Lord Jesus Christ is silenced, the less power that we'll have within the church. Christianity is Jesus Christ. It's not our wisdom, our learning, our heroes. It's not our generals. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And great is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ towards all of us. In the old path, they did not worry much about whether they are alive or they are dead, whether they are rich or they are poor, because they looked to an inheritance that was better. Let's begin to pray that God will give us that mindset. The old path, the path that is not seeking convenience, the path that is not satisfied until Christ is glorified. When John the Baptist came, he said, "My goal is that I may decrease, that he may increase." Brethren, we need to pray more so that the prophecy of Christ will not come to pass, that when he comes, will he find faith on earth? I was speaking with a couple of people today, and I remember the old days. I can't remember when I was in primary school or secondary school, but I do remember I wasn't in the Lord. And some people on this call may remember, maybe they will remind me about the period. For a period of about 6 months, students and Christians flooded the streets of the city that I grew up with pamphlets and tracts. The only word written on those tracts was the word, "I found it." They flooded the entire city. Market women, bus drivers, "I found it. I found it." I remember clearly that the conversation in the city was, "What did they find? What did they find?" This was the old way. Young, old, students strategizing around the kingdom of God. And they did not give an answer. When you stop them and say, "What did you find?" they will not give you an answer. "I found it. I found it. I found it. I wasn't a believer, but I remember." Does anybody on this call remember "I found it"?
Yes.
"I found it." Market women, Muslims, Christians. "But what did you find? What did you find? What did you find?" They said nothing. The whole city was curious. Then on the elected day, they released another one. Says, "I found Jesus." And the conversation in the entire town was about people who had found Jesus. And the kingdom of God came upon the land in that area. Those of us who were smokers and drinkers became ashamed, although we still did not give our life yet, but we knew that God was present. Brethren, shall we continue to begin to strategize around how the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will come down again? It's the same old devil. There are no new tricks. We don't need to write another book. We don't need to compose another song. The Bible is enough. For faith we come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the gospel, God has ordained that men will be saved. When shall we start talking about the gospel day and night again? Let's stop being cute. Let's start exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, again. The Lord gave me a revelation. Some people on this call may disagree with me. The Lord told me our concept of congregation is not what he wants. He said, "We're churching, we're not fellowshipping." He told me, the Spirit witnessed to me that his original plan is not that Christians will only come together in a building occasionally. His original plan is that in every point in a city, there will be a church going on. One Christian will arrive at AARP, those of you who know. And another Christian will get there, another Christian will get there, and there will be a church. Unceasing fellowship. There will be Christian hospitals, Christian schools, Christian entrepreneur, and there will be fellowship on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Hello?
Brother Dotun?
Hello?
Hello, Brother Dotun? Are you?
Where is Oluwani?
Can you go on mute?
Okay, I don't think you have anywhere to go, okay? So you can just stay. I'm leaving, okay? I don't know what you're doing. I think you need to stay outside.
Brother Peter, you're the coordinator. You should be able to mute it.
Anyway, the goal of Jesus is not that we will come together on Sunday and then we get by Tuesday. The ancient part is that once Jesus sets us on fire, we will burn every day. Our default language, our default discourse, our default.
I'm not going to be waiting for you. I've told you before. That's why
Brother Wale, you're the only one that can mute you.
Yes.
I don't think I'm an admin. I'm not the.
You are, Bro Wale. If you just click on participants, you can make me co-host or any one of us.
Yeah.
You are the only host.
Okay.
Sorry.
Not a problem.
Just click on my name and just do make co-host on the participants list.
Okay, let's see. Make co-host.
Thank you.
Okay. The moment we gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we signed up to be soldiers. Let's not be satisfied as America burns. We are the watchmen. Let's not be satisfied with church service. Let's dare to recreate the ancient path. Let's think differently. The vision the Lord shows is that in every hospital, there'll be a Christian fellowship and unbelievers will join us. There'll be mission going on in the marketplace, in Giant, every day. Please do not be satisfied with where you are. Jesus has bought our life. The Bible says there remains a rest for the people of God. We are not yet in the time when we should be resting. Don't be satisfied with cute little seminars. Think about what you want to give up for Jesus Christ. Don't be satisfied with confession. Let's see how the profession of Jesus Christ reflects in our lives from glory to glory, being transformed in the image of Jesus our Savior. We're going to continue tomorrow. I want to leave at least 20 minutes for open discussion. And I want us to discuss on the state of our faith today and our responsibilities as watchmen. So I leave the floor open for some people to contribute. Anybody? Or ask
so there's questions. A comment in the chat. I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Go ahead, let me look at it. When looking at injustice, war, pain, brokenness in the world today, Jesus feels deep compassion and empathy, weeping alongside humanity in its distress. That said, Jesus rejoices even when one lost soul is found. Like Ezekiel 33:11 pointed out, he does not want the death of sinners, but that sinners should come to repentance. But how will they repent if they've not heard the gospel? That's true. Brother Adeyinekan. Any other comments?
What are some examples of what Christians should be doing, like now, in order to stay alert and vigilant as we look forward to their appearing? As we all know, there's a lot of distraction and there's so many things that we are focused on. But what are some reminders of the things that we ought to be focused on instead?
Let's open our Bibles very briefly to, thank you, Sister Shade, to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'd like anybody that finds it to start reading. Let's start from verse 8, as a matter of fact, because Paul talked about that.
Ephesians 5 from verse 8. I'm reading from NLT. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness.
Hold on.
Instead.
Sorry, Sister Paulette. Let's, that verse 10 again. I'd like to read.
Okay.
Read it again.
Okay. Verse 10. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord.
That's one thing we should be doing. Deliberately, carefully determining from waking up to sleeping in every action that we take, what is it that pleases the Lord? And doing it. That's number one clue here. Let's continue, Sister Folake.
Verse 11. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them.
Let's stop there. What is another thing that we're supposed to do here?
Basically, flee from every appearance of evil. Don't engage in anything evil.
Any New King James says, unfruitful works of darkness. Don't fellowship. Let's give an example of that. What are the unfruitful works of darkness in our age? Examples that we Christians are not supposed to engage with. Some common ones, common works of darkness that are common temptations today that are just not productive to our goal of expanding God's kingdom.
Lying.
We should not be lying. Okay? Okay, any more bad stuff? Okay, Sister Nadia, I see you. Gossip, bitterness, envy. Let me ask a question. When was the last time most of us on this call had particular sermons telling us, don't gossip anymore, don't lie anymore, don't backbite anymore?
Praise the Lord. I hear you too.
Praise the Lord. Any other person? Constantly.
Yes.
I used to hear this a lot when I first got born again. You could not leave a service without someone, the Holy Spirit pointing at a sin in your life. Services used to be uncomfortable because God, through his word, will expose every darkness in you. I know people whose fornication were exposed during services and they broke down before the Lord in repentance because the searchlight of the word of God was on them. But there's another thing, Sister Folake. He said we should not only should we not engage them, but we should do what?
Expose them.
What does this mean?
We should call people out.
So that where we stand will be very clear from where the word stands. There will be a clear, there used to be, right? There used to be a time, I remember that they used to say to us that companies used to want Christian accountants. Although they would make fun of them and call them names, they still knew when you hired a Christian accountant, your money was safe. And nobody wanted a Christian on their team, because if you had a Christian on your team and you're trying to perform iniquity, he told on you. Sister Folake, continue, please.
Verse 12. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret.
And yet we gossip about Grammy and Oscar and this and this and that. We talk freely. Their heroes are heroes. The Bible says it's shameful. It's shameful. It's shameful. Sister Shade, you are the one that asked for specifics. So let's stop glorifying worldliness. Let's not be silent about holiness and righteousness. Let the word, by observing us, the way we talk, the way we live, our preference, let them know we stand with Jesus Christ. Verse 13.
But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible.
Visible. The reason why righteousness is being covered is because we Christians are not exposing evil. It's when you shine the light of the gospel on ungodliness that the land will see that this is ungodly. All things are exposed that are made manifest by light. But if we keep quiet, how would the world know what is evil and what is not evil? The old path. Remember how the old preachers used to do? Because they believed that any moment Jesus could come. So today, that day, they were ready to proclaim the mind of God, because tomorrow might be too late. Sister Folake.
This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
Let's stop there. Sister Shade, does that give, and there are lots, if you read Romans 12, if you read the rest of this, I mean, it's this passage talks about the kind of songs that are appropriate for believers. Let's go. Sister Folake, just keep reading. Let's quickly read to 21.
Okay. So should I go to 15 now?
Go to 15, yeah.
Okay. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Into one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. From our lips as believers, as we wait for Jesus every day, they should be finding thanksgiving upon our lips. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our language needs to change. Giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ and submitting to one another in the fear of God. Those are practical things, character, Christian character forming passages that we need to begin to pay attention to. And as we are transformed by the Word of God, the light of God will also shine in our community. Sister Shade, does that answer some of your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
Practical things. Practical Christianity. Practical. Practical. Striving every day to want to be better. He that steals should steal no more. He that lies should lie no more. This used to be the old path. Barabuni, you are there. Am I lying? There was a time that you could not go to church and come back home. They did not fill your head with the theories of salvation. They challenged you to walk as a believer that is saved. Sister Kike, what's the theme of this study? Walking in a newness of life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Any other questions? We have a few minutes more.
Not a question, if I may, but just some comments. Is that allowed as well?
Oh, sure. It's a study. Go ahead, Brother Sunday.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yeah. I believe every one of us here believe that we need a revival. We need a restoration. And it is good to, you know, we talk about the states, you know, the pitiable states of the nation, and of course the church. And but the big question has always been, looking at all this, the rottenness, you know, the evil that we see, what am I going to do about it? What will the Lord want me to do as a person, right? So we could talk about it, you know. The church needs revival. We need revival. There should be a change, just like Brother Wale is bringing that. And then everybody feel guilty, and then we weigh down. This is much. We need God to come down. But the truth is this, you know, God, we walk through men. God, we walk through us. Many years ago, I was still much, much younger in the faith, and I was praying, you know, really concerned, was touched about the state of the church in my community then. And this is a turning point in my life as a person. And I was really praying, interceding, because that was all we were told there, you know, pray for the church, pray for the nation, we need revival. And I believe I saw the need and I was praying. And I had, you know, it was like someone was right behind me and the person said, "You do something about it," you know, and that's actually what gave back to our ministry called Eras of Revival, because I heard the voice of the Lord say, it's not about telling the Lord what is wrong in the church, telling the Lord about the evil, about the sin. God is saying, no, you do something about it, you know, and I said, what am I going to do about it? I don't know anything to do, but the more I waited upon the Lord, pray. And then the Lord began to show me what I should do as a person. So whenever we have a forum like this, I always want to chip in this, you know, that individually, personally, we need to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do about the state of the church, the state of the nation? What will you want me to do to contribute significantly to revival, to the restoration, as Brother Wale said, you know, we want the whole path, we want the whole faith, But it is not just about praying about it. We've got to labor for it. Revival require labor, all right? Revival require each and every one of us finding out what the Lord will want us to do. And I want to read two scriptures which I believe could really bring home what I'm trying to say. A very popular scripture, we all know it, Matthew chapter 5. But I'm going to read in the Message rendition, I read 14 to 16. Say, here is another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I am putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, just shine. That's what the scriptures say. So Christ has come to live in me, but Christ is not just pleased with living in me. Christ wants to express himself through me, all right? And this is where revival starts. So wherever God has placed me as on a light stand, maybe at my workplace, in my school, wherever in the community, so I need to let Christ live through me, shine through me. That scripture says, bring out God's color. In other words, we need to start revealing the character of Christ. We need to, you know, so we don't just pray and say, oh, this is evil, this is bad, this is, no, but what about you? So where you are? Are you really expressing Christ? Is Christ finding expression in your life? Are people really seeing the difference? All right, people need to see the difference. And the difference comes as we yield to the Lord daily, as we yield to the Lord and let him express himself through us. So as Christians, I strongly believe our purpose is to know Christ, all right? Because I've been saved, we know Christ, but then we need to make Christ known. Of course, we do that by preaching, but much more also by our lifestyle, by our character. As our brother was saying, by the way we speak, the way we relate, the way we carry ourselves wherever we are. You know, so I just want to encourage us with this, that we need revival. It takes someone that is spiritually blind not to see that we really need revival. But revival doesn't just fall, okay? Now, God walks through us. Christ is the revival that we need, and that Christ lives in my heart. So I have the responsibility to let that Christ who lives in me also express himself through me. People need to see it. And I believe when each and every one of us begin to take a responsibility, what I mean by that is yielding to Christ and letting Christ flow through us, walk through us, speak through us, touch life through us, just as this passage here, bring out God's colors. That is where revival starts. That is when people begin to come to us and really ask questions. That is when people begin to come to us and become vulnerable, tell us what is wrong with them, you know, and asking, is there anything you could do to help me? And this is touching one life, touching the other. That this is really what brings revival. That's just what I want to chip in. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Brother Sunday. We are right at 8 o'clock at this time. Tomorrow, we'll talk more about what Brother Sunday just said. We'll go further. We touched on a bit of that today. We'll go further, and our theme tomorrow will be Jesus. Revival starts with the knowledge, the correct, accurate knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and he is the way, the truth, and the life that we need. When we return to the gospel, when we remember who Jesus is, what he has called us to do, as some of us remember, as we sit here, our passion and our zeal, effortless, when we first got born again, I pray that the Lord will rekindle that passion. We did not work for it, but by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives became transformed because we beheld his glory and we were being transformed from glory to glory in his image. The return to Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior and a friend, to Jesus Christ as a Savior and a Lord, to his doctrine, the way he ate, the way he talked, the way he walked, emulating him, is the light that Brother Sunday is talking about. So tomorrow we'll go back to the fundamental teaching of who Jesus is. And I pray that as we speak about Jesus, the desire, the love to follow him will well up in our hearts once again, as it once did. Awake, we read from Ephesians 5, you those who slumber, arise from the dead, and who will give you light? Jesus our Lord will give you light. May the Lord bless us and keep us. Please keep in the word of God. Let's study. Let's continue to walk together, and we will all meet at the foot of Jesus, because we have an enemy. What he wants to take from us is not our house. It's not our children. It's not any of these things. We study Job. What he really would like to take from us is that hope that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, he will not be able to touch it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us
Hallelujah.
Pray. Father, we bless you for this evening and this brief moment of study. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you fill us with the revelation of your Son, O Lord. Give us passion that does not come from man, clarity of thought, the desire to be with you, the infilling of your Holy Spirit. As my sister mentioned earlier, there are so many distractions, and this is time to awake again. Please awaken us, Father. Many times we do not know what to do, but you are able to show us the path to go. Father, grant to us all of this in the name of Jesus. As we gather again tomorrow, please spare our lives. I pray we'll be filled with the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for tonight. Bless us as we sleep, O God. Prosper our homes and our ways. We ask all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Thank you for joining.
Thank you. Thank you, Maruli.